The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired, and it will be available in podcast after the broadcast. This is Kurt Benrud for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Movie and Theater Previews, your source of information about plays that are produced locally with an audio-described performance and movies that are available on local screens with an audio-described performance. When possible, we post recordings of reviews of the movies and plays on the TRRS website. Go to www.trianglereadingservice.org and click on the podcast link, and then click on either the movie review link or the play review link. We'll begin with a quick overview, giving more details about the most immediate offerings a little further down. Just a quick note here, the pickings are a little slim this time of year, but the upcoming plays here in the area, Newsies is the only one that's available with audio description. It's at the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts, and it's on Saturday, July 28th at 2 p.m. And for movies, now the North Carolina Museum of Art has the summer outdoor movies, and two of these coming up will have audio description. One is The Big Sick, which plays at the Museum of Art on July 27th at 9 p.m., and July 27th would be a Friday. There is a review of The Big Sick on our TRRS website. The other is The Shape of Water, which I incidentally have attended twice, but it plays at the North Carolina Museum of Art on August 25th at 8:30 p.m., and there is also a review of it on the TRRS website. Now, the following theaters show movies with audio description. These are first-run movies. They are all of them Regal theaters. There's the North Hills Stadium 14 at 4150 Main at North Hills Street in Raleigh. Briar Creek Stadium 14 at 8611 Briar Creek Parkway in Raleigh. Timberline 6 at 120 Banks Drive in Chapel Hill. Crossroads Stadium 20 at 501 Cataboo Avenue in Cary. Beaver Creek Stadium 12 at 1441 Beaver Creek Commons Drive in Apex. The White Oak Stadium 14 at 1205 Timber Drive East in Garner. And the Greensboro Grand 16 at 3205 Northline Avenue in Greensboro. Now, Regal Theaters has a telephone system for getting up-to-date information about movies playing in their theaters. That, I'll give you that phone number in just a second here, but the game plan is to call it and then follow the menu prompts, and you can get what the show times are for whatever movie you're looking to find out about. But their phone number is 844-462-7342. And once again, that's 844-462-7342. Now, there are two new releases this week that have audio description, and here's a little preview information on those. There's Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It's a science fiction adventure film, and it's a sequel to the 2015 movie Jurassic World. It's directed by J.A. Bayona. It's the fifth installment in the Jurassic Park film series, as well as the second installment of a planned Jurassic World trilogy. Derek Connolly and Jurassic World director Colin Trevorrow both returned as writers, with Trevorrow and original Jurassic Park director Steven Spielberg acting as executive producers. Set in the fictional Central American island of Isla Nublar off the Pacific coast of Costa Rica, it follows Owen Grady and Claire Deering as they rescue the remaining dinosaurs on the island before a volcanic eruption destroys it. Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas, Howard B.D. Wong, and Jeff Goldblum reprise their roles from previous films in the series, with Rafe Spall, Justice Smith, Daniela Pineda, James Cromwell, Toby Jones, Ted Levine, Isabella Sermon, and Geraldine Chaplin joining the cast. The other new one is Uncle Drew. It's an American sports comedy film directed by Charles Stone III and written by Jay Longino. It stars Kyria Irving as the title character from his Pepsi Max advertisements that started in 2012, along with former NBA players Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Webber, Reggie Miller, and Nate Robinson, and former WNBA player Lisa Leslie, Lil Ray Howery, Tiffany Radish, Erica Ash, J.B. Smoove, Mike Epps, and Nick Kroll also star. After draining his life savings to enter a team in the Rucker Classic Streetball Tournament in Harlem, Dax, played by Lil Ray Howery, is dealt a series of unfortunate setbacks, including losing his team to his longtime rival, played by Nick Kroll. Desperate to win the tournament and the cash prize, Dax stumbles upon the man, the myth, the legend, Uncle Drew, played by Kyria Irving, and convinces him to return to the court one more time. The two men embark on a road trip to round up Drew's old basketball squad, Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Webber, Reggie Miller, Nate Robinson, and Lisa Leslie, and prove that a group of septuagenarians can still win the big one. Now, like I say, both of these movies are opening this week in local theaters. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, rated PG-13, is playing at all of the theaters in question, which once again are Briar Creek in Raleigh, Timberline in Chapel Hill, Crossroads in Cary, Beaver Creek in Apex, North Hills in Raleigh, White Oak in Garner, and the Greensboro Grand in Greensboro. And Uncle Drew plays at the Briar Creek in Raleigh, Crossroads in Cary, Beaver Creek in Apex, White Oak in Garner, and the Greensboro Grand. Other movies that are still playing in these theaters: Avengers Infinity War, rated PG-13, plays at the Briar Creek in Raleigh, Crossroads in Cary, Beaver Creek in Apex, and the White Oak in Garner, and the Greensboro Grand. Book Club, rated PG-13, plays at the Crossroads in Cary and the Greensboro Grand. Breaking In, rated PG-13, plays at the White Oak in Garner and the Greensboro Grand. Deadpool 2, rated PG, the Briar Creek in Raleigh, Crossroads in Cary, White Oak in Garner, and the Grand in Greensboro. Hereditary, rated PG, is at Briar Creek, Crossroads, White Oak, and Greensboro Grand. Incredibles 2, rated PG, plays at all of these theaters. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, once again, plays at all of these theaters. Ocean's 8, rated PG-13, plays at all of these theaters. Rampage, rated PG-13, is still playing only at the Greensboro Grand. Show Dogs, rated PG, is playing at the Crossroads in Cary and the Greensboro Grand. Solo, a Star Wars story, rated PG-13, plays at all of these theaters except the North Hills and the Greensboro Grand. Tag, rated R, plays at all of these theaters. And Uncle Drew plays at the Briar Creek, the Crossroads, Beaver Creek, White Oak, and the Greensboro Grand. And now, because the pickings are a little bit slim, I'm going to repeat some information from the program from 2 weeks ago. If you were there, you can ignore this part. If you weren't, well, we're playing catch-up here. So the movie Hereditary is an American supernatural horror film written and directed by Ari Aster in his feature directorial debut. It stars Toni Collette, Alex Wolff, Millie Shapiro, Ann Dowd, and Gabriel Byrne, and follows a family that begins to be haunted following the death of their reclusive grandmother. Incredibles 2 is an American 3D computer-animated superhero film and a sequence to the 2004 film The Incredibles, produced by Pixar Animation Studios, released by Walt Disney Pictures, written and directed by Brad Bird, who also wrote and directed the first film. Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter, Sarah Vowell, Samuel L. Jackson, John Ratzenberger, Brad Bird, and Michael Bird reprise their roles from the first film. They are joined by Huck Milner and Jonathan Banks, taking over roles from the first film, with Bob Odenkirk, Catherine Keener, Sophia Bush, Phil Lamar, and Isabella Rossini voicing new characters. So the film begins 3 months after the end of the first one, even though it's coming out 14 years later. But it's 3 months following Syndrome's defeat, The Incredibles, also known as the Parr family, and Frozone, also known as Lucius Best, battle the Underminer as the latter attempts to rob Metroville Bank. The Underminer flees in his drilling vehicle, but the Incredibles stop him before he destroys City Hall. Despite this, the authorities are more concerned with the level of damage caused by the debacle. Rick Dicker informs the Parr family that his department in the Super Relocation Program is being shut down as a result of the battle with the Underminer. As a result of this, supers are once again forced to permanently adhere to their secret identities. And Ocean's 8 is a 2018 American heist comedy film directed by Gary Ross and written by Ross and Olivia Milch. The film is a spin-off from Steven Soderbergh's Ocean's trilogy and features an ensemble cast including Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Mindy Kaling, Sarah Paulson, Awkwafina, Rihanna, and Helen Bonham Carter. The plot follows a group of women led by Debbie Ocean, the estranged sister of Danny Ocean, who plan on robbing the Met Gala. Once again, Debbie Ocean is the younger sister of the late Danny Ocean. She has spent 5 years and 8 months in prison planning a heist, convincing her partner in crime and friend, Lou, to take part in her heist. Debbie proceeds to recruit jewelry maker Amita, profiteer Tammy, street hustler Constance, and computer cracker Leslie, a.k.a. Nineball, and fashion designer Rose Weil. In a flashback, it is revealed that Debbie's ex-lover, Claude Becker, had involved her in a fraud scheme and then testified against her, sending her to prison. Debbie chooses Becker to be the scapegoat for the plot to steal the Toussaint, a $150 million necklace at New York City's star-studded annual Met Gala. And then Solo, A Star Wars Story, or simply Solo, is an American space western film about Han Solo, a character from the Star Wars franchise. The film is directed by Ron Howard and produced by Lucasfilm from a screenplay by Jonathan and Lawrence Kasdan. It is the second of the Star Wars anthology films, following 2016's Rogue One, a standalone installment set prior to the events of A New Hope. It explores the adventures of a young Han Solo and Chewbacca, including meeting Landau Calrissian. The film stars Alden Aaron Reich as Han Solo, alongside Woody Harrelson, Amelia Clark, Donald Glover, Thandi Newton, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Junis Suotamo, and Paul Bettany. Described as a space western, the film is centered on young Han Solo and his adventures with his Wookiee sidekick, Chewbacca, including their encounter with Lando Calrissian. And finally, Tag is an upcoming American comedy film directed by Jeff Tomsic in his directorial debut and written by Rob McKittrick and Mark Stylin. The film is based on a story that was published in the Wall Street Journal. At 9 years old, a group of tight-knit friends, Hoagie, Jerry, Bob, Chili, and Kevin, created a game of tag that they played through the month of May. After 30 years, it was the thing that brought them together, even when their lives took them in different directions. However, this might be the last, as it seems like Jerry, who's never been tagged, might quit. Now, once again, reviews can be accessed by going to the www.triangleReadingService.org website. Click on the podcast link and then either the movie review link or the play review link. I can tell you up front here, there are no play reviews in there at the moment. But the and showtimes are available by calling 844-462-7342 and following the menu prompts. And once again, that's 844-462-7342. We'll move on to plays now. Like I said before, the only one that's available with audio description at the moment is Newsies, which will be playing at the Duke Energy Center for Performing Arts on Saturday, July 28th at 2 p.m. Stop the Presses. Disney's Newsies takes the stage. Adapted from the Disney film, New York City's newsboys seize the day when they strike against unfair working conditions. Experience the Tony Award-winning musical that's thrilled audiences on Broadway and across the country. Tickets start at $25 and go up from there. You can make reservations by calling 919-831-6941, extension 6944. The number once again is 919-831-6941, extension 6944. Now, the differences between Newsies that's playing nowadays on the stage and the 1992 film, in addition to the songs from the original movie, Newsies the musical contains several new numbers, such as Brooklyn's Here and Something to Believe In. The songs My Lovey-Dovey Baby and High Times, Hard Times were removed and replaced by the singular song That's Rich, which is performed by the same character, Meta Larkin, while the remaining songs were rewritten to fit the changes in the storyline between the film and the musical. The characters of Sarah Jacobs, that's Davy and Les's sister and Jack's original love interest, and the New York Sun reporter Brian Denton are replaced by the composite character, Catherine Plummer, later explained to be a pen name. She is revealed later to, in fact, be Joseph Pulitzer's daughter, a reporter with whom Jack falls in love. Also omitted was the solo for Patrick's mother. A scene with Jack, Davy, and Spot Cullen is absent, and it's Spot's involvement in a fight between the Newsies and the Scabbers. Spot doesn't appear until the rally. Now then, movies that have reviews available on our website are Avengers Infinity War, Book Club, Deadpool 2, Hereditary, Incredibles 2, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, Ocean's 8, Rampage, Solo, A Star Wars Story, and Tag. I'm going to read reviews of other movies of which we do not have reviews on the website. I'm going to read those coming up now, which as many as I have time for. So Breaking In, this review is written by Glenn Kenny, who gives it 2.5 out of a possible 4 stars. He does write for the website run by Roger Ebert's company, the late Roger Ebert's company. As Don't Mess with a Mother thrillers go, I much preferred this picture to last year's Halle Berry starring exercise in high-octane cinematic ineptitude, Kidnap. Gabriella Union stars as Sean, a mom of 2, but she's not the first character we see. That fellow is Isaac, a rich Chicagoan. He's got a full drawer of expensive wristwatches, who goes out for a run one fine morning and is not only flattened by an SUV, but has his head stepped on by the unrepentant driver. This starts the film off with a jolt. The vehicular homicide is shown with a slightly more panache than the current de rigueur and cheap, out-of-nowhere shot. It's then we meet Union's character, the daughter of the dead man, the one who's not spending much time mourning. She and Isaac were not close, but she's got to dispose of his estate, including the large house and attendant acreage where she spent her childhood in Wisconsin. She and her kids, tween Jasmine and younger Glover, are going to spend the weekend staging the place. The house has memories for Sean as they drive past the stables. She tells her kids that her dad got rid of the horses after she moved out. Young computer whiz, of course, Grover, discovers the house has an elaborate security system that he spends some time amusing himself with a drone. The fun ends when the trio, Sean's husband and the father of her kids, is stuck at the office. Discover that they're not alone in the house. I've heard this movie's plot described as reverse panic room, and that's nifty and not wholly inaccurate. Waylaid by a member of a 4-person team of criminals, Sean is chased by one who she happens to subdue. But the other 3 in the house and in search of a safe can now lock her out and vouchsafe her cooperation by threatening the kids they've taken hostage. The remainder of the crew is moderately to very nasty. Leader Eddie, played by Billy Burke, who acts in a style that conjures a Martin Starr character that had been popular and confident in high school, is of the let's do what we gotta do persuasion. Blonde and jumpy Sam, played by Levi Maiden, is more of a this isn't what I signed up for, let's get out of here guy. And finally there's Duncan, a kill everything that breathes type. Not for nothing, but it's a little peculiar in a film that empowers a woman of color character to see such a blandly broad Latino psycho stereotype. Richard Cabral doesn't say, who's going to mess with us? Can't you see I'm loco? But I wouldn't have been a bit surprised if he had. Once the particulars are established, Eddie lays down a second log line for Sean. You are a mother alone at the mercy of strangers. Your greatest weakness is locked in this house with us. If you've seen the poster for this film or its trailers, you know that such taunts and provocation will only make the climatic line, you broke into the wrong house, that much sweeter. So yes, the movie's predictable, and writer Ryan Engel makes a lot of unforced dialogue errors, as when Eddie, having finally found the safe and managed to open it, behold its contents and says, so that's what the American dream looks like. There are also plenty of plot holes, which many of my colleagues gleefully dismantled on their way out of the theater. I'm not generally inclined to flex my gray matter in this way, but I was resolved to an improbable ride early on. If Isaac was a criminal, he was, and a court case against him was in progress, it was, his heir would not be disposing of his estate for him. There would be a freezing of the assets and stuff. But you know, whatever. I don't invest in these movies for a reality check. And this thriller is not badly directed. James McTeague has a fleet, efficient visual style that keeps the suspense set pieces percolating. One of his favorite devices is a lateral tracking shot, followed by a character on the move across a hall. The character will stop, and the camera keeps moving and comes to a rest at a position where someone else could conceivably pop out. The shot rests for a couple of beats and nothing happens, then cuts. It's an effective fake-out strategy, not effective enough to make any of the movie's climactic, quote, twists very surprising, but few directors are genuine miracle workers. And then there's Show Dog. This review is written by Christy Lemire, who gives it 1/2 out of a possible 4 stars. She writes, Show Dogs is essentially Miss Congeniality in the dog show world. And if that doesn't sound like your cup of kibble, well, maybe you'd be right. Even by the low standards of this type of live-action family-friendly comedy, Show Dogs is especially lame. It's actually kind of amazing that it's getting a theatrical release at all. From the barely-there characters to the cheesy visual effects to the flat attempts at knowingly corny laughs, this reeks of the kind of material you'd have the misfortune of discovering in the bargain bin under the merciless fluorescent lights of your local soulless superstore. It is bleak indeed. Your family deserves better. Certainly Show Dogs isn't aiming for the kind of intelligently written, emotionally poignant offering we've come to expect from Pixar Animation, for example, or even DreamWorks Animation. It's the latest film from Raja Gosnell, who previously directed a couple of Smurfs movies and a couple of Scooby-Doo movies and Beverly Hills Chihuahua. A talking dog beauty pageant flick is very much in his wheelhouse, but it's also far more insufferable than its high-concept premise might suggest. Don't get me wrong, I'm no film snob. I'm down for a good live-action talking animal movie. It doesn't even have to be an Oscar-worthy film like Babe. Something sufficiently snappy and ridiculous looking like cats and dogs can be a lot of fun, if it's lively and a little subversive. But this is not that. Gosnell's film, based on a script by Max Botkin and Mark Hyman, features Chris Ludacris Bridges providing the voice of Max, a New York City police canine unit. And the reviewer goes on to compare this movie to Miss Congeniality, where the undercover agent is a beauty pageant contestant. And will the contestant win? Well, who knows? Anyway, we're starting to run out of time for this episode of Movie Reviews and Theater Previews. Hopefully, some of this information has been helpful, and maybe we'll get together and meet up at the movies or the theater.